Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, we're going to consider another creation prayer as part of our series, Prayers to the Creator in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The last prayer to the Lord as Creator that we studied was the prayer of Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 19. And in today's program, we're moving forward in the Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 16.
Yes, but I want to point out that although we are moving forward in the Bible, as you mentioned, Scott, we're actually going to be moving back in time with respect to when the events of 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles occurred, because 1 Chronicles 16 records what was taking place during the reign of King David, which was about 300 years earlier.
So the dates we're talking about are approximately 700 BC, for when Hezekiah prayed to the Creator for protections from the invading Assyrian army, and around 1000 BC, when David was king of Israel.
Yes, a unified Israel, I might add.
Oh, good point.
And the event recorded in chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles is also recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 6, which, of course, is situated before 2 Kings 19 in the Bible.
So, Dr. Scripture, why didn't we discuss this back when we were in the books of Samuel? I remember we did a program on Hannah's prayer to the Creator in 1 Samuel chapter 2.
Well, that's a good question, Scott, and there is a reason. But I'm not going to explain it just yet.
Not fair.
Let's first learn what event in David's life is recorded in 1 Chronicles 16 and 2 Samuel chapter 6. And the way we're going to see that these passages record the same event is by reading just one verse from each passage. So, Scott, you read 2 Samuel 6:16.
Okay. Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart.
Now I'll read 1 Chronicles 15, verse 29. And it happened when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and making merry, and she despised him in her heart. Now, did you notice a similarity?
Similarity? They were virtually identical.
Okay, I was just checking, making sure you were paying attention. They are almost word for word identical. And what these passages are recording is one of the highlights of David's reign as king, the day the ark was brought into Jerusalem. However, from the point at which they describe Michael's reaction to David's dancing before the ark, the account in Samuel then varies from what is written in 1 Chronicles, where 2 Samuel then goes on almost immediately to talk about David's desire to build the temple of the Lord, to provide a house for the ark. 1 Chronicles records some wonderful detail about what took place on that great day when the ark was brought into Jerusalem. And part of what was written down was a lengthy psalm of thanksgiving not found in 2 Samuel. But Scott, it is found in another portion of God's Word. In fact, it was recorded as two distinct psalms in the book of Psalms, Psalm 96 and Psalm 105.
Wow. And I'm guessing those psalms definitely refer to the Lord's glory and work in creation.
Oh, well, they sure do. So let's go back to 1 Chronicles and read the verses which reveal the context of these two great psalms, and we'll see that as psalms, they are actually prayers of thanksgiving to the Lord. So Scott, let's read 1 Chronicles 16, 1 through 4. You start.
Okay, verse 1. And they brought in the ark of God and placed it inside the tent which David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God.
When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord.
And he distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone, a loaf of bread and a portion of meat and a raisin cake.
And he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel, Asaph the chief, and second to him, Zechariah. Notice who was specifically named among the Levites who ministered before the ark?
Asaph and Zechariah.
Yes, and I want to highlight Asaph because there are several psalms written by Asaph,
yep,
or the sons of Asaph.
Yep.
And what we find out is this is where David assigns the privilege of writing some of the psalms to Asaph and his sons. Let's skip down and read verse 7.
Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord.
And I want to point out one more thing about what we read in verse 4, something we might not catch as English readers. When it says, David appointed Levites to celebrate, thank, and praise the Lord God of Israel, those three words, celebrate, thank, and praise, describe three different types of psalms in the Psalter.
Really?
Now, there are more than those three types, but there are psalms of invocation, indicated by that word translated celebrate, psalms of acknowledgement, indicated by that word translated thank, and of course, psalms of praise. So we see that David even instructed Asaph to write different kinds of psalms to help lead the nation of Israel in worship. And what then follows, starting at verse 8 of 1 Chronicles chapter 16, is a wonderful psalm, a prayer of thanksgiving. From verse 8 through verse 22 is a portion of what was an even longer psalm, Psalm 105. Now, Psalm 105 is 45 verses long, and it has 5 stanzas. But we have just the first 2 stanzas, which is 15 verses, recorded in 1 Chronicles 16. Now, we're not going to read all 15 verses, but I do want to read the first 5. Scott, I'll read verses 8 and 9, and then you read 10 through 12. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders.
Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. Okay, now that was a wonderful call to worship.
Amen.
But aren't we supposed to be considering prayers that somehow relate to creation or call upon the Lord as creator? I'm wondering where the reference to creation is in those verses.
Well, Scott, that's an understandable observation, and here's the answer. If we were to read on, we see a kind of history of God's dealings with his people recounted. First, it refers to the covenant with Abraham, then Jacob, and then how, as they wandered from place to place, God protected them. And then, to make the chronological nature of this recounting of history even more clear, remember I said Psalm 105 has 5 stanzas?
Yeah.
Well, the third, which is not recorded here in 1 Chronicles, is about Joseph and then Israel going down to Egypt. And the fourth is about Moses and Aaron performing miracles before Pharaoh and then the 10 plagues. And finally, the fifth stanza is about the Exodus and the wilderness wanderings and the entering into the promised land. So what this Psalm of Thanksgiving is doing is going through the history of God's wonderful acts. And what are his first wonderful or miraculous acts? His acts in creation.
Oh, yeah.
So in verse 8, where it says, make known his deeds among the peoples. And then in verse 9, speak of all his wonders. I think we should understand Asaph is referring to the wonders of creation.
Okay. And I think you've even pointed out in previous programs that the word translated wonders could even be translated miracles.
Right. And here's an example. When the Lord is talking to Moses about what he's going to do to Egypt, in Exodus 3:20, it says, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. The word miracles there is the same word translated wonders in the passage we're studying. Now, granted, it could be referring to the miracles God did on Israel's behalf at various times through history. But since the context seems to be a recitation of history, the logical starting point in the first stanza is in the beginning, I think. And finally then, as we consider the first 5 verses of this large prayer of thanksgiving in 1 Chronicles, look at verse 12 that you read, Scott. It says, remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. Doesn't that sound like an allusion to Genesis 1? Then God said, let there be light.
Let the earth bring forth.
And so on and so forth. So I think this first stanza of what becomes Psalm 105 is a prayer of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord for his marvelous work in creation. But that's not all, Scott, because the prayer continues in 1 Chronicles 16, and verses 23 through 33 essentially are the 96th Psalm. And in this passage, the Lord is identified as Creator specifically. I'll read the verses, but then we'll go back and consider these verses in more detail. Verses 25 and 26 say, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens."
There's the reference to the Creator. The Lord made the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always find it very dramatic when the Lord compares the idols, you know, made by man to himself. So here in this example, God alludes to the fact that idols didn't make anything.
Right.
But in fact, they themselves were made by a creature, man. But in contrast, the Lord made the heavens.
And those heavens include the sky above, the universe filled with billions of galaxies, and the supernatural realm of heavenly beings, which includes those fallen angels, which many of those idols represent. And with that fact firmly implanted in the minds of God's people, as verse 25 proclaimed, "He is to be feared above all gods," something the Israelites forgot repeatedly in their checkered history as a nation. But let's not forget ourselves. What gods, little g, what idols, what things do we fear and in practice place before the Lord in our assessments of how to make our way through life? When we struggle to trust the Lord, when we struggle to seek first the kingdom of God, you know, reciting scripture is a wonderful, effective way to appropriate the power of God and live what the New Testament describes as the resurrection life. The Creator of the heavens and earth enabled Abraham and Sarah to have a baby when they were old, just as he caused the sun and moon to stand still when Joshua prayed for more daylight, just as he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Listener, are you struggling in some area of your life? There's an idol you just can't let go of. There's a problem in your life that you're unwilling to trust the Lord to handle according to His will. I appeal to you. Read this prayer of thanksgiving and praise. Embrace the words and the meaning, and let it bring you to the attitude of worship. Its power may be just the means by which your Creator will bring you into right relationship with Himself. So let's read this great passage, Psalm 96, which we first find recorded in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 23 to 33. "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in holy array.
Tremble before Him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth."
And that's not what we say, that's what Scripture says.